there, everyone. It's Brendan here, and welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the technicals on the charts to the fundamentals in the news. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. Now, this week, we're going to have a little bit different of a rundown, and that's because most of the team is over at Consensus. They're conducting podcasts and interviews and talking to all the leaders in the space, and they're going to be back with us next week. But for this week's episode, it's just going to be me, but it doesn't mean that we don't have an action-packed episode in store for all of you, because the topic of crypto is becoming increasingly more of a political issue. And it's for all the right reasons. It's for all good reasons. And that's what I kind of want to talk about in today's episode, is just how crypto is being adopted on a political spectrum, not only in the US, but it's happening globally. And all these politicians want positive cryptocurrency regulation, and they want to see this industry flourish. And that's really what we're seeing get passed, and not one, but two major bills through the mainstream US government. But again, we're seeing this kind of happen around the world. We also have other companies outside of just the government. We actually have companies that are coming in and saying, hey, we like what MicroStrategy has done. We want to adopt a similar model. So we're going to be talking about that as well. And of course, we have to give an update on the charts and also what is happening with the Ethereum ETF. Because as you might remember, the Ethereum spot ETFs got approved for 8 different ETF providers. And now everyone's wondering, when are these things going to start trading? So definitely have an action-packed episode in store for everyone. Before we begin here, quick little reminder that if you want to look at all the visuals and follow along on the screen with what we're talking about here, maybe you're a Spotify or an Apple Podcast or an Audible listener, then you can actually go over to our YouTube channel, the Crypto 101 Podcast YouTube channel, and you're going to be able to see all the visuals that we are referencing on the screens during these episodes. And we also have a lot of cool tutorials and podcasts and other kinds of rundowns and news events that's going up on that YouTube channel as well. So if you want to track along with the visuals, that's going to be your place to do it. And that's going to go ahead and kind of kick us off. So without further ado, let's go ahead and begin here and talk about what in the world has transpired. So for starters here, we actually have, Semler Scientific come out and say, hey, we really like what MicroStrategy has been doing. And I want to flash this up on the screen so that everyone can see it, maybe even zoom in just a little bit. But Semler Scientific announced that they are taking a Bitcoin treasury strategy that is similar to what Michael Saylor from MicroStrategy has done. They go on to kind of talk about the credibility and why we're doing this, but it makes sense. And I think the key takeaway here is that there's going to be more companies like this, you know, more major companies. I mean, this is a company that is in the Russell 2000, and they're saying, we like what Michael Saylor has done. It's clearly worked for him, and we think that it's going to continue to work for him. So we're going to go ahead and start taking a similar approach. Now, again, I think that this really is just the start of companies adopting Bitcoin onto their balance sheets. And the reason that we're kind of fitting this in with all the rest of the news here is because this is very important. It's very important to understand why this is happening, because the laws and regulations around how companies can record Bitcoin on their balance sheet is changing. You know, previously, prior to or during the time of SAB 121, which is something that we've talked about previously and we're going to talk about today, companies had to record, or a lot of companies had to record Bitcoin as a liability on their balance sheet. Now, what does this mean? Well, what this means is that they would have to have a dollar in cash for every dollar of cryptocurrency that they held in order to offset holding a liability on their balance sheet. So, you know, could they hold Bitcoin without it? Maybe, but it's going to be a negative booking, essentially. It's going to be a negative thing for their accounting. So if they wanted to offset that, you know, maybe it's a dollar, maybe it's $1,000, $1 million worth of Bitcoin on their balance sheet, well, they need to hold a dollar of cash for every $1 of crypto that they held. Now, a lot of politicians gathered together, and we're going to kind of go into this, and, you know, maybe now's the appropriate time for this, but the U.S. Senate said this makes no sense. And it wasn't just one side or the other. politicians on all sides of the spectrum here came forward and they said, this thing doesn't make any sense. There's no reason that an asset like crypto, especially like Bitcoin, should be recorded as a liability. It's just bad for US businesses. And so Democrats and Republicans came together, and they didn't just come together. They came together in overwhelming majority. And they said, we are going to try to get rid of this rule. So they passed this vote. Again, in overwhelming majority, they sent it to the president's desk, who at first was like, there is no way I'm going to approve this thing. But now it's, you know, we're starting to see signs that he's pivoting from that idea because there's a lot of external pressure that's going into something like this. You know, not only do you have his campaign competitor, former President Donald Trump saying, you know, I support the crypto space and this kind of thing. But you also have key members of his party, like the majority leader, Chuck Schumer, and then you have Nancy Pelosi and other people that are supporting these crypto bills now, along with a plethora of other Democrats. And so when we look at this and when we see a bunch of different people from all political parties saying, hey, we are a fan of the crypto space, he's starting, and when I say he, you know, President Joe Biden, is starting to become a minority here in his anti-crypto approach. And it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on here, that's what everyone's just kind of agreeing to. Even people inside of his own party are saying, hey, your anti-crypto approach isn't really that popular. And, so he's starting to get some exterior pressure here, and we're seeing the effects of that. And I think a lot of people are speculating that is a big reason that the Ethereum ETF got passed so suddenly and abruptly. But this isn't the first crypto bill that we saw get passed here. Well, that former one, the SAB 121 bill, was from the Senate. We had another one go through the House. And so the House approved the Crypto Fit 21 bill with a plethora of, you guessed it, Democratic support again, a party that has historically been, more on the anti-crypto side of things and kind of against crypto. And so what we saw here is that the U.S. voted 279-136 to approve this FIT 21 bill. So what this means is that, this is, and it says it right kind of down here, I'm going to flash this up on my screen. What this means is that this is the, biggest recorded ever crypto win in U.S. policy. And what we saw here was about a 3-to-1 ratio of people voting in favor versus the people voting against this thing. Or excuse me, about a 2-to-1 ratio here. And so it's just overwhelming support. It wasn't even a close call. It was just an overwhelming majority. Even with I think it was 71 different Democrats. Yeah. And 208 Republicans that voted on this thing in agreement. And so we're seeing agreement in the House. We're seeing agreement in the Senate. We're seeing, pretty much just global adoption inside the United States of people saying, hey, we want this to be more positively regulated. And that's really exactly what we're seeing here. So the crypto space is changing. Whether you want to realize it or not, these are things that people have been waiting for seriously, like a decade now. For some people, even longer, saying, man, I can't wait to see until the U.S. government is all in agreement that this thing needs positive, regulation and adoption, especially for these massive entities. And that's what brings us back to the idea that we were talking about earlier with Semler Scientific. There's other companies out there that are like this saying, hey, we want to do this. We just don't want to be punished. We don't want to get sued by the SEC. We don't want Gary Gensler coming after us like he did with Binance and like he did with Kraken and like he did with Coinbase and all these other companies. We don't want him coming after us simply because we own crypto. We want clear regulation, but we also don't want to get punished for having this being labeled as a liability. And so if we're getting all this kind of positive crypto regulation, I can only imagine how many other companies are out there like this one that are looking from an outside approach, from that kind of bird's eye view going, this could be the start. This could be the catalyst that we've been waiting for a long time. So there's all sorts of stuff that's happening inside the government here. And again, I think the pressure is on from a political spectrum because the election, the U.S. election, is seriously just a few months away. I mean, we're less than 6 months out from this thing, and everyone wants to stay. And again, it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. Everyone wants to stay in positive eyes of the public so that they can get reelected. And so I would imagine that the crypto space continues to move forward. I would imagine that it continues to be positive because that clearly is the narrative right now. And there's just more and more people going to this pro-crypto side than the anti-crypto side. I think with Nancy Pelosi and with Chuck Schumer and some of these other people pivoting, I don't see the bears and the anti-crypto people really having a ton of traction anymore. So that's one of the things that stood out to me here. And, you know, one of the other things that I want to talk about that's a little bit different, but kind of going back to the idea of the Ethereum ETFs, because there was a bit of confusion around this saying, hey, you know, are these approved? Are they not approved? If they are approved, why aren't they trading yet? And the answer there is that these spot ETFs, you know, pretty much have a two-step approval. You have to think the first step is the actual approval itself. And then you have to have the essentially like the go-ahead to start trading. And that's what the S1 approval is. The S1 approval is going to say, hey, this thing's actually clear to start trading. So even though the ETFs are cleared, they are not cleared to begin trading yet until we get the S1 approval for these spot Ethereum ETFs. Now, this should take about, I would imagine that we probably take maybe 2, 3, maybe even 4 weeks from now, but it doesn't look like it's something that's going to be approved today or tomorrow or even this week or next week. It'll probably be something that happens closer towards the July area. So I know a lot of people are waiting for this thing. They're going, man, I want to get my hands on this stuff. BlackRock's building on Ethereum and all these other companies are wanting to get their hands on it. But we're probably going to have to wait about, you know, again, roughly speaking, we don't have an exact date, about a month's time here before these Ethereum ETFs start trading. Now, the big question here is, hey, if we're in this phase, then why is Bitcoin falling? You know, why is Ethereum falling? It doesn't make any sense. You know, we got the ETFs approved, but they haven't started trading yet. Well, to that, what I would say is, what if we go back and we look at what happened to Bitcoin after the Bitcoin ETF approval? And I'm going to flash up a chart here. I think I have, you know, one that shows this. Yeah, here we go. So we have the Bitcoin ETF approval, and then we have the new highs after. Now, what you'll see here in between these two zones is that there's a pullback, right? There is a pullback, and it goes right down. It's a pretty decent one. In fact, if we measure this from top to bottom, there's about a 20, 21% pullback over the course of roughly a, let's see, this is about a week and a half period, about a 2 week period where Bitcoin saw about a 20% pullback. But after this, it went to new highs from 38,000 all the way up to 74,000. This was the post ETF rally. But what happened before this was consolidation, choppiness. We actually saw a fall in price leading to this ultimate rally. And so we're looking at this over here. And a couple other things that I want to highlight is that going into this rally, we saw a golden cross of the 20-day crossing upwards over the 50-day. And we also saw the MACD crossing upwards from this oversold territory back towards bullish territory to the upside. We saw all these happen right around the time of the ETFs and the approval and when they started trading. Fast forward to where we're at today, we're seeing the exact same stuff. The MACD just crossed back upwards. We just had a bullish cross of the 20 and 50 day moving average. And we are, what do you know, we're retracing, kind of leading into the Ethereum ETFs. And so if we think that the Ethereum ETFs are going to have any kind of even remotely similar response to the Bitcoin ones, not only do the moving averages and some of the indicators and the candle chart all look very similar to the pre-Bitcoin ETF, but you know, now that we're approaching this from the Ethereum perspective, it looks similar over here too. So, you know, the question of why is this pulling back? Well, it did the exact same thing when Bitcoin started trading, or right before the Bitcoin ETFs started trading as well. So I'm looking at this and I'm really not too worried. Ethereum has some support down here, right around the $3,700 zone, even a little bit lower. There's a ton of little support zones, even a little bit more around 3350, some more around 3200, and more that goes below even that. And then for Bitcoin, Bitcoin's at a key level of support here, a big old one, really the first level that it needs to hit, but it has a ton of support in between 67,200, 300 bucks, all the way back down to 60,000. There's about four or five different support levels that Bitcoin can kind of bounce off of along the way. And so when I'm looking at this, I really do think that the macros are still looking great and healthy. Any kind of pullback that we have here is not going to really freak me out too much. We can see that the altcoin market is actually holding together quite well, even though Bitcoin's down about 1.5%, Ethereum's down about 2.5%. Altcoins really aren't like mega dumping. There's a few that are down maybe 4%, maybe 5% for some of the really bad ones, but a lot of them are down, you know, maybe 1, 2, 3%. And so the market together here is holding relatively well. And I look at these dips as potential buying opportunities, especially as we get closer to the moving averages and some of the different support zones for Bitcoin. So that's kind of just the way that I'm looking at this and that I'm playing it. I'm still pretty optimistic about the mid to long term. And I think that any kind of short-term correction that we have could very likely look at very similar to what we saw prior to the Bitcoin ETF rally leading into this Ethereum ETF trading session as well. So, man, there's a lot going on in the world of crypto. Again, this is a little bit more of a shorter market update, but we wanted to keep everyone posted and keep everyone in the loop on what's happening over here, because there is a lot happening behind the scenes, especially from the political spectrum. And not everyone likes to follow this stuff, but I do think that it's important to realize just how far crypto has come and the way that it has implanted itself as like a major talking point of this election cycle. Like, this is seriously something that is determining who people vote for. And if you would have said that in any previous cycle, people would have been like, I don't know, that seems like a little bit much. Like, you're going to determine who you're voting for based on whether or not they support crypto. That seems kind of far-fetched. People might have said that or might have had an argument for that in previous cycles. This time around, it's like, no, it's like a very, very normalized thing. And the way that the view and perspective of crypto has changed just even in the last 4 years is truly wild. And it's showing just how far this space has matured. And so there's a lot of great things happening. We want to make sure that everyone stays in the loop. All that we ask over here is that if you like the content that we make, consider hitting that like button, consider hitting that subscribe button, you know, check us out on YouTube and our other socials. We got a lot of great places that you can kind of get plugged into. We got some great communities over here. But man, that's going to wrap us up for this week's Crypto Rundown, everyone. As we always say, you know, if you like everything that we're doing over here, you know, we are a little bit biased, but we think that this is the best way to keep in touch with everything that's happening in the crypto space as well. So that's going to go ahead and round us out. Hope to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.